Good. We're good. All right. So we are on Gimel Amud Aleph 3a and ready to move forward. After last week, we spent most of our time just doing recap from before Sukkos, and then discussing the question of when one is able to undo a Kiddushin and the issue of Ones, circumstances beyond the control of the person who is who either was supposed to marry the woman by a certain date or gave a conditional get. We're now up to the second version of Rava, so I want to make sure that we understand where we are as we go forward. What happened was we had said in the Gemara initially regarding marriage that in the event that the man and the woman did Kiddushin, he has up to a year to do Nisuin, after which he has to support her whether Nisuin happened or not. And we said that in the event that the reason why the Nisuin didn't happen was because of Ones, circumstances beyond his control, then maybe he could make the argument that I shouldn't have to support her. I was ready to marry her. Don't blame me for the fact that we didn't go ahead with the wedding. Rava then said that idea that you could say circumstances beyond my control intervened also applies in the discussion of get. If the man gives a woman, his wife, a get, saying in the event that I don't do X, this get is valid, but it's an ones that keeps him from actually doing X, then he's able to, then Rava said, he's able to argue originally Rava's first statement was, then he's not able to argue ones. If he claims circumstances prevented me, our answer is too bad. That was Rava's initial statement. You can't claim ones. And we brought multiple sources for Rava's statement. We wanted to know, how did Rava get this? How does Rava know that a claim of ones is not effective? And if you take a look at the source sheet, you'll see I gave you a list of the three cases that we tried to use as a basis for Rava. The first one was the Mishnah in Gittin, which said, if a man says, if I'm not back in 12 months, then it's a get, and then he dies, the rule is, it's not a valid get. The reason why it's not a valid get is because it's a posthumous get, not because of the ones, but rather because it's a posthumous get. So the implication is that that death as an ones is effective in intervening. However, let's say he didn't die. Let's say he simply became ill, and that's why he didn't come back within 12 months. The illness would not be an excuse, and the get would be valid. That was our first attempt at supporting Rava. We thought that source shows that that ones is not a valid excuse. We dismissed that case. We then brought a second case, the case in which a man says, if I'm not back in 12 months, it's a get retroactive to today. And we said, if he dies, it's still a valid get, because now you don't have the argument anymore of the get is a get posthumously. He said it's retroactive to today. So that shows that we again believe that ones does not actually count as an excuse. Ones is ineffective as an excuse. I don't care what the circumstances were. That was our second attempt to support Rava's idea. And then we had a third attempt. And the third attempt was a source which said, if the man says, if I'm not back in 30 days, this get is a valid get, and instead of dying, and instead of becoming sick, he's on his way back, and the river blocks him. There's no ferry, there's no whatever. The river blocks him from returning. And we said it's a valid get. So again, jumping up and down and saying, but wait, that was ones, isn't going to help him. We dismissed all three of these cases. We said none of them is an adequate basis for Rava. But those three cases that we brought as supports for Rava's position, when Rava says ones doesn't, when Rava makes the statement that ones isn't a valid excuse. Those three cases are supports for him. Now we're going to flip that on its head. Because what we're going to see is a second version of Rava in which he's going to make the opposite statement. And so all three cases that we brought as supports for Rava now become ways to undermine Rava. You follow? Okay? The everything that we thought we knew from those three cases is now going to be flipped on its head. So I'm going to share the Gemara with you, and we'll work from the Gemara itself. So it should be opening up on your screen.
One quick question.
Yes.
The second case where it was retroactive, that seems like a good argument. I can't remember. Can you remind me why the Gemara sort of...
So all of them seemed like nice arguments. But each one had something to undermine it. What undermined it in the second case, the case of his death, was because in the event that he dies, his wife may need to do Yibum. She may need to marry his brother if they don't have any children. And so maybe it's a valid get in that circumstance, not because Ones is invalid as an excuse, but because his intention was, even if there were circumstances beyond his control, he still wants her to be divorced, because he doesn't want her to have to do Yibum. So that was unique to that circumstance. So the
you just explained it better than art school then, because I didn't understand art
school. Okay. Hey, when you're dealing with someone live, it's always going to be better than something on paper. That's true 10 times out of 10.
Okay.
So we're now in the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about a dozen lines down. Ika de Amri, alternate version of Rava. I should note for you, someone is sending a message in the chat, but because I'm sharing the screen, I can't exactly look at it well. There we go. Oh, someone sent me a message asking, in case he dies, is she not entitled to benefits of widowhood? So if it's a get, then she's not a widow. You can't have it both ways. And that would be correct. So, Ika de Amri, alternate version of Rava. And there's a Tosos in Beitza which says that you don't get Ika de Amris. You don't get alternate versions that directly contradict the preceding case, where Rabbi X says yes, but some say Rabbi X says no. But this is an example in which that exactly that happens. It is an Ika de Amri, it's an alternate version, and it's Rava saying the exact opposite thing. In this case, Ika de Amri, some said, Amar Rava says, V'chein le'inyan gittin. The same thing is true for get. Just like this works when you're talking about ksuba and the obligation to support the wife, that ones is a valid excuse, so too, it's a valid excuse regarding get. So, Alma Kesava Rava Yesh Ones Begin. So, Rava believes that Ones works regarding get. Mesve, the Gemara challenges using our first of the three cases. We learned. Hareza Gitechem Labasi Mikan Vachnamasar Chodesh. A man says, here's your get if I don't show up in the next 12 months. Umes Pesoch Shnamasar Chodesh. And he dies within the 12 months. Eino get. End of quote. It's not a valid get. So the Gemara says, Mes hu de'eino get. It's the same argument we brought before in support, now it's being brought as a challenge. If he dies, it's not a valid get, because it's a posthumous get. Ha chala, but let's say he only became ill, hareze a get. It sounds like this would be a valid get, even though there is a claim of ones. So doesn't that undermine the idea that ones is a valid excuse? To which the Gemara says, no. Lolam e malach, I'll tell you, cholanami eino get. Becoming ill also disqualifies the get. It won't be a get if he became ill. Vehi gufa kamash malan, de'ein get la'achar misa. The illness will disqualify it as well. However, the reason why the Mishnah mentioned the case of death was in order to teach me there's no such thing as a posthumous get. That's why they mentioned it. Was in order to teach me that rule, but the truth is illness wouldn't disqualify the get either. To which the Gemara says, in get la'achar misa, that rule that there's no such thing as a posthumous get, hatana l'resha. We knew that from a Mishnah before that already in the Gemara. I didn't need you to tell me that. I knew that already. There was a previous line that said that it went through the date on the document, and so he says, no, dilma l'afuke midirabosenu. Maybe this Mishnah needed to say it. Maybe the Mishnah needed to make this point that there's no such thing as a get after death, to show that we disagree with Rabosenu. And what Rabosenu is something that we discussed when we saw the first side of Rava, but it's already quite a while ago, in which we noted there was a view quoted from our masters, Rabosenu, who said the following. I keep saying there's no such thing as a posthumous get. But there's a date on the get, right? In the event, I'm going to stop sharing so I can see people's faces and make sure this is getting across. In the event that a man gives his wife a get, there's a date on the get. So today is, or tonight is the 8th of Cheshvan, I believe, right? I think so. If no one else knows, then I can say it. It's the 8th of Cheshvan tonight. So let's say the man gives his wife the get conditionally and says, this is a get, the date is the 8th of Cheshvan, if I don't show up in another 3 months. He dies at some point between now and 3 months from now. So you'll tell me, well, it's a posthumous get. But Rabosenu argued, no, the date on it is the 8th of Cheshvan. On the 8th of Cheshvan, was he dead or alive? He was alive. So therefore, it's a valid get. He gave it, it had a date on it, and you don't need to say explicitly, this is a get retroactive to the day I am giving it. There's a date on it. Right? Jeff and I were having a conversation about mail-in ballots. What if there happens to be an election in some country somewhere, and people happen to be voting by mail, and somebody votes by mail, and then they pass away, Rahman al-Islam, before the election. So should the ballot count? Should the ballot not count? The answer is, it depends on which jurisdiction you're in, because different jurisdictions have different rules. But that's what's going on here. In the case of the ballot, you say, on the date when I voted, it was valid. The guy was alive. On the date of the get, the guy was alive. Now, there may be a difference, because in one, there is something called Election Day. And maybe that has certain legal status, not necessarily in the other. But the point for our purposes and for this conversation is that there was a view that said a get is not considered posthumous if the date on it is from when he was alive. And in this source, we're bringing the statement of if he dies, the get's invalid in order to show we disagree with that. We don't go by the date on it. Unless you say retroactive to today, you're out of luck. Are we clear? For those who are having trouble hanging on to this, just hang in a little bit longer and we're going to be in a completely different Gemara. Don't give up hope. You'll get something. But
what is the point of Gemara mentioning this opinion about the date? Just to show a different opinion?
No, this was a machlokas tanaim. This was a debate already back in the Mishnah. So our Gemara is saying that the reason the Mishnah included the example of death as an ones, instead of giving me illness as an ones, which would have been a bigger novelty, is because it wanted to show me that death as an on, that it wanted to show me that parenthetically, the date on it doesn't defeat this being a posthumous get. That was the goal. It was to teach me this added lesson. Really, I would have said, teach me the illness case. Because the illness case is a bigger chiddush in terms of ones. But that's why it didn't do that. Okay. Let's go back to the...
Are we saying that the get itself does not mention it's retroactive, but it was presumed to be retroactive based on the date the get was given?
The get will never mention being retroactive. It's a statement at the time of the delivery. This is your get, retroactive to whatever, you know, to now. But yes, there was no statement at all of it being retroactive. The argument was, there's a date on the get, that's the date it's meant to be executed, even if he never explicitly said so. That was the argument, and there was a view that said that works. And our mission is disagreeing.
And if the husband came back beforehand, the get was never crystallized because the condition wasn't met.
Correct.
Rabbi Kachiner.
Yeah.
If he decides 2-3 weeks into having his departure, decides, you know what, of age, I don't want to wait and find out. So is the get then valid that she can use the get to meet and marry somebody else?
I don't understand what you're saying. The guy gave the get on the 8th of Cheshvan. He said, if I don't show up in 3 months, this is a valid get.
On Cheshvan, she decides, he's not here, and I'm going to move on. Can she exercise that get?
It's 3 months later. He hasn't shown up. Sure.
Now, is there a caveat that he says, if I'm not back within X many months or years, the get becomes invalid or becomes is exercisable? So if he says that I'll probably be back in a year from Army service.
Yeah.
But you're sitting here with a get on the 8th of Cheshvan. Can she go out on the 8th of Shvat and say, you know what? I don't want to wait a year.
No.
I'm going to exercise the get.
No, that would be a historically bad idea. Yeah, no, do not try that. Not at home, not anywhere. Okay.
It also means that if the woman steps out and there's a child that's later born, the child might initially be characterized as a mamzer, but retroactively be change to a non-mamzer.
Right, so that involves a very interesting set of questions that I hadn't looked into prior to this year, so I don't want to say anything definitively. But the question of what her status is during the interim period is a fascinating question. You know, another way to look at that would be, what if he said, this is your get retroactive to today if I don't show up in a year, and then he dies during the year. So what exactly is her status now? But, you know, he dies 3 months into the year. What's her status for the next 9 months? Is she divorcee in waiting / widow? Right? Because she's not divorced yet, but in 9 months, she will be divorced yet. Because the get will be valid retroactively. He's not coming back. So there is discussion in the literature about exactly that question, the relevance of Trias HaMesim for this. And not just Trias HaMesim, but Eliyahu or Elisha bringing somebody back to life. So that actually does figure into this conversation, along with an additional question that raises, which is, if a person dies and comes back to life, are they still married? Normally, death disrupts a marriage relationship. They're no longer considered married. If he comes back, they're not married anymore. This raises all sorts of other questions.
Something I don't understand.
It's relevant whether you allow the woman to remarry.
Yes, among other things. Sorry, Alan, you're muted.
Oh. I just don't understand something. If he gave this 1 year thing and died 3 months in, he's dead. So the whole get thing, isn't that irrelevant now?
He gave it retroactive to the original date. And therefore, when he doesn't show up after 12 months, she's now a divorcee retroactive to the date when he gave the get.
But he can't show up after 3 months. He's dead.
That's correct.
So why wait till 12 months?
Well, what Chuck is trying to argue is that for the next 9 months, she's not a divorcee. She's a widow. And then eventually she will become a woman who was a divorcee. This is time travel. It'll give you a headache. The rules of grammar don't really work. Yes. Thank you, David, for putting it in the chat. Schrödinger's get. She's in this quantum unresolved state in which the Basedom will not look at her. And therefore we don't know whether she is divorcee or widow. That's correct. And then someone asked me before why I'm not recording video of this year. But that's effectively what that's the headache we have here. Dove, you had a question or a comment? Nope. Okay. So, yes, Clive, go ahead.
Seeing that there was, could she not just say that he did not make this a conditional gift? So if after 3 months, he's still alive somewhere, and she says, I'm holding a get. He didn't say it was conditional on anything. Can I not use this get and go and get married to someone else?
Right, so there are witnesses, and she is asking for trouble if she tries that. Because if she gets caught, that means that she married somebody else as a married woman intentionally. That's the sort of thing that doesn't end well. You know, I mean, that's again a very bad idea. If she doesn't want that arrangement, she shouldn't accept the get. Once you accept the arrangement, you go with it. Okay. So going back into the Gemara, but yeah, the discussion about Trias HaMesim there is a fascinating discussion. It raises all sorts of very interesting questions. Actually, I'll pause the share for a minute just to give you another question that came up along with that from the same tshuva about Trias HaMesim. We say LaMesim Chofshi, those who pass away are exempt from mitzvos. So what if a person passes away and comes back to life? Are they obligated in mitzvos? So you'll say to me, well, wait till Mashiach, wait till Trias HaMesim, and we'll find out. However, there's a classic debate in halacha regarding the definition of the moment of death. According to one view, death takes place when the heart stops beating. What if a person has bypass surgery? Is the person said to have passed away and then come back such that they are exempt from mitzvos? So, poskim deal with this question and tend to say that where it's not irreversible, or to get rid of the double negative, where the heart stoppage is reversible, we generally assume the person is still considered to be alive. And you have to say that, because otherwise the person in the operating room who stopped their heart would be guilty of murder. So therefore we assume, no, they're considered alive, despite the fact that their heart stopped. But I remember vividly when I was in Keren B'Yavne, the director of the yeshiva was Eli Klein, Alav HaShalom. And he used to invite the guys over to his house for Kiddush Shabbos morning after Minyan. And there were certain people who did not want to go for Kiddush there because they weren't sure if they could be Yotze with his Kiddush because he had had heart bypass surgery. And they said, well, maybe he's exempt from mitzvos. So they went hungry and the rest of us had more to eat. But this is a very interesting issue, this issue of Trias HaMesim and Halacha. Okay, going back to the Gemara. So that was the first attempt to knock out Rava. Again, Rava is now arguing, unlike what he argued before, that Ones does not work. He's arguing that Ones also applies. That's the idea to a conditional get. So Tashma, come in here. From our second case, where the arrow is on my screen. Me'achshav, im lo basi mikan v'ach-shnemesar chodesh. If the guy says it's a get retroactively, if I don't show up in 12 months, so he said retroactively, umeis b'soch-shnemesar chodesh, and then he dies in the 12 months, harez a get, end of quote, it's a valid get. Even though he died. So the Gemara says, "My love, hu hadin lechala." Wouldn't the same thing be true regarding an illness situation? And Jack, we're coming back to that case again. that we discussed before. Wouldn't the rule be the same if he was ill? And we would say that even though he's ill, it's still a valid get. Saying ones doesn't help you. To which the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Meis davka. It's only death, not illness. Death will obstruct the validity of the get. Illness will not. Why will death obstruct the validity of the get? Exactly what I said to Jack before. Because he doesn't want her to fall to the yavam. The death will not disqualify the get, because he specifically didn't want death to disqualify the get, but illness would disqualify the get. That's the statement. And then the Gemara goes to the third of our...
I'm lost. My davka d'lo niachalei d'ibu kamei yibum. Is he talking about yibum? Is that the last word?
Yeah, he doesn't want her to have to do yibum with his brother.
So he doesn't... If he doesn't want her to be... Then he doesn't want her to be a widow, then.
He wants her to be a widow. He wants her to be a divorcee. That's correct. He wants her to be a divorcee and not a widow.
Death would mean that the divorce is still crystallized. It's still a valid divorce.
Correct.
What wasn't a valid divorce, he would have to do yibum.
Correct.
But illness, so if he said, would have, it wouldn't have any impact on yibum.
Correct.
So that's why illness. How is that? How do we know that?
That what?
How do we know that yibum came into play in the contemplation of the husband?
This is what we call anan sahadi. Literally, it means we are witnesses. It's an attempt to read the mind of this former husband, and to say death would not, in his mind, he did not want death to disqualify the get.
Is it just a legal presumption that we say is chal on everybody, or is this an individual case that they're talking about?
It's a legal presumption that we apply across the board. Now, mind you, it will only work if you're dealing with a case where he doesn't have children. Right? If you're dealing with a case in which yibum wasn't a factor, then this argument cannot be made. And what the Gemara is, what the Gemara is effectively doing is it's splitting the Mishnah. And it's saying that when the Mishnah says that death will not disqualify the get, it only is referring to cases in which the alternative to the get is yibum. You follow? That's what we're saying. So yes, it's a radical rewrite of the Mishnah. So again, Rava is making the statement that ones applies, the argument of ones applies, and we challenged it by saying, if the argument of ones applies, look at that Mishnah which said that death is going to, that death is not going to disqualify the get, and therefore I would argue illness also will not disqualify the get. And therefore, you see that that ones is not a factor. To which he says, no, illness will disqualify a get. It's only death that won't disqualify it, because of the unique yibum circumstance. Then we get the third. Yes, Alan.
When we're talking about the illness would disqualify a death or not, if the get is written for a year, 3 months in, he gets sick. We don't know yet if he's going to get better within the 3 months before, but within the remaining 9 months. So why would it work right away?
If he gets sick, if he is sick as of the last day, it's a snapshot. We take a picture at that moment in time, and it doesn't matter whether he eventually dies, because his eventual death isn't what kept him from returning in 12 months. It's illness right. That kept him from returning.
But if he were to get sick 3 months into the year and then recover before the year was over, then there's no effect from the sickness.
Correct. That's true. Okay. So I really want to make sure that we get through this Gemara today, because I know that it's giving some people headaches. So myself not included. So I want to get through the three cases as clearly as possible. As possible being an important word in this conversation. So Tashma, we bring the third source. Me'ahuda Amar Lahu, man says to his wife, Ilo Asina Mikan Vachloshim Yom, if I don't come back in 30 days, Leheve Gita, this should be a valid get. So he says, if I'm not back in 30 days, it's a get. Asa Besov Tlasin Yomen, he comes back in 30 days. Upaske Mavra, and the river's in the way, the ferry's on the other side, the bridge is out. Va'amar lo, and he's jumping up and down, saying, Chazuda soy, see I'm here, Chazuda soy, see I've arrived. Va'amar Shmuel lo shmei masya, and Shmuel says, no you haven't, you say you've arrived, but you have not arrived, it's a valid get. So a claim of ones is ineffective. Rava, you told me ones is effective. This source says ones is not effective. To which the Gemara answers, onsa deshchiach sha'ani. A common ones is a different story. A predictable ones is a different story. In other words, he knew that this could happen. There's a river. He knows he's going away. He knows that sometimes the riverboat is there and sometimes it's not there. Sometimes the bridge is in, sometimes it's not in. So he should have built that into his condition. Dekevan de iboy leila asnuye. I see the hand, hang on. Dekevan de boy leila asnuye. Velo asni. Since he should have stipulated, in the event that the bridge is out, the get is invalid, and he didn't say that, Ihu hu da afsid anafshe, he lost it for himself. He cost himself in this circumstance. It was a predictable ones, and that's built in. Yes, Howard.
What constitutes him arriving? Is it him being in the same town? Does he have to be on the threshold of his house? What constitutes, you know, arrival or not? He's over the river and he can't get to a certain point.
Right.
What's the point?
Right. It's a good question, and it's not defined in the case. My assumption would have been to be back home, but I have no basis for saying that. This is one of those situations where draftsmanship is really, really important, and you need a good lawyer. You need to make sure that when he says, if I don't get back, we know what getting back actually means. Because, yeah, the case does not tell us. So, good question, for which I don't have a proper answer. Okay. So, we're now done with the ones discussion. That's it for the ones discussion.
What's the conclusion, Gemara?
Right, so the Gemara simply brings you two different versions of Rava. It doesn't actually tell us who's right, who's wrong, so to speak. And we don't have a clear-cut conclusion in the Gemara itself. And honestly, I don't remember it. I'd have to go look it up in order to give you an answer.
Our says that the Halacha follows the first version of Rava.
Okay. That sounds nice. I have no reason to not say that. I'm just looking in the Gemara itself for something, because the Ein Mishpat is not helpful on this. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The Ein Mishpat is there. It was on the word Alma. Hang on. I'm going to share this with you. I take it back. For those who are not familiar, we've discussed this before on other occasions, but it's always worth pointing it out. If you look at your screen and you see the word Alma, the green word Alma, so, in a standard Gemara, obviously, it's not green. It's green here because they have things to link you to if you click on it, but that's not what I want you to see. Right above the word Alma, you see a little letter Aleph. The little letter Aleph is in a standard Gemara, and it points you to what's called Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah appears in the upper corner of the page, outer margin, and here I'm showing it to you here. And what it is a collection of statements found in the Rambam, in the Tur, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Smag, that relate to the Gemara. And generally speaking, although not 100%, but generally speaking, if there's a letter in the Gemara on a particular line and it points you to something in the Ein Mishpat, what it's trying to say is that's the law, as recorded in one of the sources here. So the Aleph here refers you to Mem Yud Yud, Maimon, Rambam, Perek Tes, Mehilchos Gerishin, Halacha Ches. So you would look in the Rambam, in his Laws of Divorce there. He also references the Smag, Asei Nun, and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, Kuf Mem Dalet Aleph. So that's where you would look to see this halacha, and the fact that you put the note there indicates that, yes, that's what we hold in practice. Okay, good. So I want us to get started on the next piece, if only for the satisfaction of those who found the Ones discussion a little hard. The Ones discussion is hard, because you're working with double and triple negatives, meaning Ones works as a claim means the get turns out to be valid and the condition is void. Ones not working as a claim means that the condition is valid and the get is void. It's a very confusing back and forth. But the Gemara coming up here is a lot more straightforward. It takes us back to our discussion about what day of the week people are supposed to get married. We're back to the wedding dates. We said in the Mishnah that you're supposed to get married on Wednesday. Right? That was what we said. Psula nisses liyom harvi'i. We want him to be able to go to Beis Din the next day. Beis Din meets on Monday and Thursday. We said, well, then why not get married on Sunday? And the answer was we wanted him to spend 3 days getting ready for Sheva Brachos, for the week of Sheva Brachos. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, we are now 8 lines or 9 lines up from the bottom. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Lo shanu ela mitakonas Ezra va'elech. This idea that you have to get married on Wednesday to take advantage of Beis Din only applies from the time of Ezra and onward. She'ein batei dinin kivuin ela b'sheni u'bachamishi, because that's when Beis Din was not available other than Monday, Thursday, meaning Ezra said Beis Din meets on Monday and Thursday. Aval kodem takanas Ezra, but before Ezra's time, shebatei dinin kivuin b'chol yom, when courts were fixed daily, Isha Niseis B'chol Yom. So a woman could get married any day of the week. You follow? Beis Din's available any day? Get married any day. But Tosfos is horrified by this statement. Are you trying to tell me that Ezra the great leader early in the second Beis HaMikdash, reduced the availability of Beis Din to everybody? That before Ezra's Takana, Beis Din is available on a daily basis. And Ezra says, nope, sorry, we're reducing Beis Din hours. From now on, Beis Din is only on Monday and Thursday. That doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos says that's not actually what's going on. He gives you an approach from Rabbeinu Tam, and he gives you an approach from the Re. Byron? Yeah, we have to stop sharing for a second. Let's see if you're Byron, both granddaughters are represented here in this Tosfos. We have both Rabbeinu Tam and the Re. So here we go. Tosfos writes on this Isha Niseis, no, not on Isha Niseis, Shabbate Dinin Kavuan Bechol Yom. That's the Tosfos you want. Vim Tomar, you might ask. Did Ezra make a takana that Beis Din should not meet every day, but only Monday and Thursday? Does that make any sense? And then he has a further question, which I'm not even going to go into right now. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, jumping down into Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Dekodem takanas Ezra lo hayu kavuin b'chol yom. Before Ezra's time, you didn't have Beis Din established daily. It was completely ad hoc. You need a Beis Din. So go gather up rabbis and you'll have a Beis Din. The Ezra tikein sheyiyu kavuin bebeis vehei. Ezra said that's not a good system. I don't like the whole ad hoc nature of this. Instead, set days, there will be courts that are sitting in these cities. Anybody who wants to have a case heard goes there on Monday and Thursday to be heard. That's Rabbeinu Tam's explanation for what Ezra did. Ezra said no more ad hoc Beis Din, but now Monday, Thursday. That's one approach. The Re disagrees, jumping to the end of the line. Veriti reit shelo yukvuim techila ela biir achas. Originally, the courts were only available in one city. You want to hear a case? You want a case heard? You have to travel to get it. Ve'ezra tikein b'chol ir ve'ir be'beiz ve'hei. And Ezra said, no, every city should have a Beis Din convening on Monday and Thursday. So what Ezra did was to increase the availability of the courts in terms of space. The first view, Rabbeinu Tam, is that Ezra increased the availability by saying, now I'll have a set day of the week and not ad hoc. The second approach, the approach of the Re, is that Ezra says it's going to be available everywhere. But but either way, what Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is saying is, pre-Ezra, Beis Din doesn't have a set day to meet, or doesn't have a set day to meet in every town, and therefore you get married whenever you want. So the Gemara is going to ask a question which we're going to come back to next week, which was, who cares? You're here as an Amora to give me historical fact. Hey, isn't that a neat thing to know? That we do it this way, but back in the day it was done differently. I didn't really need you to tell me that. Why did you need to tell me that? And the answer is going to be, it's prospective. To say, not only were things different before Ezra, but if things ever revert to that state, so that Beis Din doesn't have a fixed Monday-Thursday character, there's no reason for you to stick to Wednesdays. It's only when there's this Monday-Thursday phenomenon. But once the circumstances change, then all bets are off. That's what the Gemara is going to say, and we'll have to discuss that and applications of that idea, God willing, next week. Okay?
Rabbi, is it possible to posit that Ezra was talking about Beis Din of three meeting, before Ezra, Beis Din of three met every day? But Ezra was Masakin Monday and Thursday, a Beis Din of 23, because if he brought her to Beis Din and she was Chayav Misa, you would need a Beis Din of 23.
So that's an interesting suggestion that you're making. Rav Simi is pointing out that we have a hierarchy of courts. The Beis Din of 3 is financial matters, and we'd like to hope this remains as a financial case. However, it could escalate to be Dina Nefashos, life and death, in which case you need a court of 23, and maybe that was what was meeting on Monday and Thursday. So the thing is that really what's happening here is not even a court function at all. What we're going to see, God willing, next week is that what we are talking about in this conversation is actually what, there's probably a word for this that Chuck will give me. But basically, it's a procedural thing. What the Beis Din needs right now, when they hear this case, is to make a declaration of so-and-so showed up here making an allegation, are there any witnesses? It's a call for witnesses. If no witnesses show up to demonstrate that something went wrong between Kiddushin and Nisuin, there's no conversation to be had about Dinei Nefashos. At best, there's a financial claim. So what you're doing right now is really not even the function of a court. It's just a proclamation calling for witnesses who can testify. That's going to matter a great deal because they're going to ask a question later on that we're going to see, I hope, next week about what about a Beis Din doing this on Shabbos, because it's not really a Beis Din act. But you wouldn't need 23 judges just to call for witnesses. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great week. Shkoyach to you. Refuah shleima to all the cholim.